Today we're starting a new sermon series on your identity in Christ. And this is a topic that is really important to me, a topic that I've learned and grown in the last couple of years. And part of that's through the School of Kingdom Ministry. Part of that is through other groups that I've led and been a part of, through books that I've read, and just through personal experience of how I've grown. And so we'll be looking at that. And today I'll be looking at why it's important to know your identity. Why are we spending time with this? So I'll kind of set the stage for why it's important to understand this. Before I get into that, I want to show you a little bit of where we've been. That the last year or so, we've had different sermon topics and sermon series, and they weren't just random things that we thought, oh, this would be good, this would be good. There's a plan, and there was a thought process behind it, and I wanted to show you that briefly. And so last fall, we did a growing in community, and we looked at community. And a community being one of our core values here that we're actively trying to get better at community. And so that was a sermon series that kind of also kicked off our growth groups. And just a few things about community. That's something that we've taken steps in, and I've seen progress. I've seen some really great progress in that in our community here, but there's still work to go. And so just because that's not our current sermon series, let's continue to work on that. And let's continue to take advantage of opportunities that we have with community events and growth groups and our time after the service downstairs. Let's take advantage of that time to get to know one another. And it's been great to hear. Sometimes I've talked to some of you and you said, hey, last week I sat down with this person. I didn't really know them, but they're this and this, and they were so great. And there's so many great people in our church that you may not know yet. And so take advantage of maybe sitting at a table with someone you don't know very well, or take advantage of some of the opportunities we have. So let's connect even more. So let's take what we've done, let's celebrate that, but let's do more with that. And so I wanted to continue to encourage you to continue with that idea of community. And then after community, we looked at taming the beast of fear and anxiety. And this was a topic that affects each and every one of us. And this is a tangible thing that we can look at. And so we took a look at what the Bible says about this. How do we combat this based on what the Bible says? And during that, we had growth groups on the topic of taming the beast of fear and anxiety. And for my group, I led it on identity, because identity and understanding who you are is one of the best tools we have against fighting fear and anxiety. And so some of those same themes of fear and anxiety and how we can tame that, and what the Bible says about us to combat that, you'll be seeing in this sermon series. Then we looked at the book of Ephesians, which has verses and themes of all the things we've been talking about. It has verses about what it means to be united in the church, and what it means to be part of a church community. It takes a look at putting on the full armor of God and combating fear and anxiety and other evils in the world. And it looks at who Christ is and who we are because of Christ. And so the book of Ephesians had all these themes wrapped up in one book. And then the last sermon series we had was the Christ identity, where we walked through and said, Jesus is all these certain things, and understood who Jesus is and who he was and what he did for us. And that culminated in last week, where we celebrated his death and resurrection. And part of, and so much of our identity is wrapped into who Jesus is. And so that's why we did this in order. Let's understand who Jesus is, because so much of who Jesus is and what he did impacts who then we are. And so we understand that first, so we can understand more about ourselves. So, your identity in Christ, we're going to take the next 10 weeks, and we're going to look at all these different topics. Created in God's image, created mind, body, spirit, Christ in you, you in Christ, forgiven, new creation, in God's family, you have the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, and called by God. So those are all elements of your identity that we'll be looking at and diving into. So when we talk about identity, I just want to give a quick definition. I can give you kind of a what would be a dictionary definition, but I feel like the best way to define it is it answers the question, who am I? So whatever answers that question of who you are, that's your identity. That's who you are. Another way to think about it is, some of the other ways we talk about identity is, you know, my identity was stolen. Well, what does that mean? That means someone had enough information about you, about who you are, to say, oh, I'm this person. That could be bank account information or social security numbers or mother's maiden name or whatever that would be. But they get enough information to say, I am this person. Who are you? Oh, I'm this person based on all this information. So we'll look at that of who am I? We'll answering that question. That's what identity tackles for us. So why is knowing your identity important? And I have three different things that we'll be talking about today. The first one is understanding your foundational self. And foundational self is just a phrase that I put together to talk about who we really are. So I chose the word foundational for two reasons. Number one, foundational because so much of what we need to believe about ourselves is because God created us that way. And so from the foundations of creation, we're created in a certain way. And so we're going back to the foundations of how God created us and how God says we are. So it's foundational in that sense, but it's also foundational in that we can build upon it. It's foundational for us that we get to build ourselves and our identity and who we are based on something that's solid and true. So it becomes foundational for us. So we want to understand what that foundational self is. And that's all the topics we looked at. We'll be diving into more and more of that. The other idea is we want to get our value from our Creator. That tied in with identity is also, how much am I worth? What's my value as a human being? And so that ties in there. So we want to look at value and worth as well. That ties in with our identity. We want to be getting our value from our Creator. And the last point there is we want to be living more like Jesus. That Jesus lived fully understanding his identity. He perfectly understood his identity. And so when we look at Jesus and we want to, hey, I want to be doing what Jesus did. And he preached the gospel and healed the sick and raised the dead. Why don't we be doing those things? The reason he was able to do those things is partly he understood what his call was and understood his identity and what he was here on earth to do. And so if we want to be following Jesus, and as followers of Jesus we do, we need to be understanding our identity to do that. So let's look a little more into understanding the foundational self. So I'm going to read a Bible passage that may be familiar to you, but maybe not familiar in this context. This is Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So the idea here is that when we're building our identity, we can build it on the words of Jesus and the truth of Jesus, and that's like building it on a rock. That's the idea of foundation, of having something that's foundational. On the other side of that, we can build our identity on a house that's built on sand. That when trials come and bad things happen, it crumbles and it falls. And we enter an identity crisis. So my definition of what it means to build your identity on sand is this. When you base your identity, value, and worth on your perception of how others perceive you. So what we do, and what I mean by that, is what we do going through life sometimes when we're building our identity on the sand is so much of who we are and our identity is we try and gain by how do other people see me? And so we try and gain a little bit of insight, like how do they see me? Am I this? Am I cool? Am I hip? And so much of it is just trying to determine how other people think about us, and we determine our value on that. And so we think, oh, these people actually value me, so okay, I have some value. But then if we perceive that, oh, they don't value me anymore, then all of a sudden the value of ourselves goes way down. And I say perceived here because sometimes it's not even actual how other people see us. That they may see us as valuable and smart and athletic and funny and all these different things, but they maybe said a wrong comment, and all of a sudden we think that they think that we're not valuable. And so we go through on this hamster wheel of trying to figure out how other people perceive us. So some examples of this, we'll go through some pictures here of some examples of this. The first one is numbers on a scale, that we base our value on what numbers show up on the scale in the morning when we step on it. Other things are the car we drive or the car that we don't have. Do I have the right status? Am I presenting correctly to other people with the possessions that I have? The next one, be money you have in the bank or your credit score. And that gives your value or your worth. Or the next one, your clothing or your fashion sense. Are you presenting as if you're in fashion and that you know how to dress? Or the next one is your career. Are you presenting yourself as, you have the right career, that you're moving up in your career, that you have something that's prestigious? And then the last one we have is Facebook likes. So your identity and value and worth is based on how many likes you got on Facebook that morning. And did I put the right picture? Did I say a funny enough comment? Did I do this or that? And I think all of you could admit that at least one of these has affected your mood or affected your identity or your worth at some point in your life. And the problem when we base our identity and value and worth on these things is that they're changing. And so one morning you may step on the scale and you've lost a few pounds. So that whole day you are on top of the world and you're valuable and your identity is based on it. You're thin and slit and slip, slim and fit and that you're athletic. But then a week later you weigh yourself and you gain that weight back. And then all of a sudden you're fat and pathetic and all. It becomes this roller coaster ride of going up and down based on what number shows up on a scale. And we do that, or the numbers in our bank account, that if it goes up, all right, my identity's way up here. All of a sudden, it goes down. Or if we put our identity in our job, and what happens when we don't have that job anymore? That we retire, we get laid off, or we go to a different job in a different industry. Where's our identity? And it gets lost. Or fashion. You may have the fashion for now, but what about 6 months from now? Do you have the right fashion? Are you going to be in fashion anymore? And so it's always changing. And so your identity of wearing a dress or a shirt or shoes 1 year, it'd be, hey, I'm on top of the world. The next year, you wear the same thing. Oh, that's so out of fashion. And so our identity is way down again. And so it becomes this roller coaster ride of up and down and back and forth of how much am I worth? Am I valuable? Yes, no. And it becomes an identity crisis again and again. We start to be on this hamster wheel then trying to get feedback from other people. Where so much of our interactions with other people isn't, I want to care for you, I want to be a good friend to you. It's, what do you think about me? How do you perceive me? And that comes to rule so many of our relationships and so many of our community settings. Is, am I presenting to other people in the correct way so that they view me as something that I want to be viewed as? So instead, that's the picture of building your identity on sand. That something bad happens, and then your identity is just blown up. Your identity is destroyed because it's based on one of these things. But instead, we want to be building our identity on the rock. That's when you base your identity and value and worth on who God says you are. And then when that happens, and when bad things happen, and you gain a few pounds, or the money in your bank account goes down, or you can't drive as nice a car anymore, or you lose your job, or you don't have a ton of Facebook friends anymore, your identity isn't way down. Your identity is still up here because God says that you're up here. And so tragedy can happen, and there's obviously going to be ups and downs in your life, but your identity isn't going up and down with them. Your identity is staying up because you're basing who you are and your value and your worth based on who God says that you are. So we want to be getting our value from our Creator. And so I have a picture there of something, and I have a similar thing in my pocket here. So it has Andrew Jackson on it. It has 20s in the corner. What is this? $20 bill. How much is it worth? $20. How do you know? Because it says it. There's face value. Thank you. We have a banker here. Face value. Thank you. What would happen if I said that this was worth something different? What if I went to the store and said, actually, this 20 is worth $100? Here you go. Or what if I thought this was worth 5 cents? I think a lot of you would pull out a lot of your nickels and say, I'd buy a lot of your 20s for 5 cents. So who creates these? The U.S. government, U.S. Treasury, the Mint, whatever you want to call it, and they determine the value. Now what we can buy for it may change based on inflation and other things, but $20 is always going to be $20. What can I buy for it with this? What are some examples of things I could buy? Coffee? What else?
20 McChickens.
20 McChickens. All right, there's lunch. What else? Mascara. You could buy mascara. What else? Half a tank of gas. Okay, depending on the car you drive. This might get a full tank in my Corolla. I could buy happiness with $20? Where do you buy your happiness? So, all right. So I have $20 here, and I went through. I only have a few 20s, but I found the best looking one that I had. So this one looks pretty good. So what happens if I crumple it up? So it's all crumpled up. How much is it worth now? $20. Still worth $20. All right. What happens if I would just throw it on the ground and kind of step on it and kind of rub it in a little bit so let's get a little dirt on it? How much is it worth now? Still worth $20. What happens if I would just rip a little bit of these corners off? I know. I'm breaking federal law here, just so you know. Just to make this point, that's how important this is. So I ripped some corners off. How much is it worth now? Still worth $20. All right. This morning, I grabbed some dirt outside. This is church dirt. So if I mix it in here and I get some dirt on it, so now it's got some dirt pieces on it. How much is it worth now? Still worth $20. So the point of this is that we're gaining the value of this from who created it. And so we're going here, we're saying the U.S. government says this is worth $20, and so we're going to go for that. And it's not really helpful for us to try and say this is worth something different, because it's not. And it doesn't matter if it's been stepped on or crumpled or gets dirty or gets the corners ripped off, it's still worth the same. And so often for ourselves, we think that we're going to determine our own value and not the value of who created us. And we think, oh, you want to know what? I made a mistake, and I've done this or I've done that. I've gotten a little dirty. My corners are a little ripped. I've been stepped on, and we think I'm not valuable anymore, that I've lost my value. And so we go through life thinking, there's no value here. There's no value in my life. Instead of saying, God created me, and so I'm going to go with the value that God created me, and God created you with much more value than $20. So God thinks that you're valuable. And just like if I were to sell this to you for 5 cents, I'd be totally, misjudging the value of this. And we do the same thing with our life, that we sell ourselves short, and we put ourselves in situations thinking that we're not worth it. That's like selling your $20 bill for 5 cents. So we want to be basing our identity and basing who we are on what God says our value is. And we'll look at that more and more as we go through this series. So let's look at Jesus. Jesus perfectly understood his identity. Here's John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these he will show him, that you may marvel." So Jesus is talking about his relationship with his Father, and that he does what the Father's doing. And there's talking about the love there between the Father and the Son. That Jesus perfectly understood his identity. He perfectly understood who he was. And the last 7 weeks we looked at that, about the Christ identity, about who he was. Jesus perfectly understood that. So when we follow Jesus, we want to be like him. And so we want to be like him in a lot of different ways. And one of them is that we want to be going through understanding our identity. And think of the stories that you can remember about Jesus that some days that he's feeding 5,000 people and they want to crown him king. And they're all about him, and you'd think, oh yeah, Jesus is really feeling good about himself now. But then he has a hard teaching and all the people leave except his 12 disciples. Did Jesus' identity and value and worth all of a sudden go way down here? No. Look at what happened during Holy Week, the last week. So you have Palm Sunday where he's walking into Jerusalem and people are waving palms and Hosanna and they're praising him. And then a week later, the same people are yelling, crucify him, crucify him. And he's nailed to a cross. Did his value go up and down? Did his identity change and all of that? No. He understood that he was here, who he was, and what he was here for. So as followers of Jesus, we want to be doing the same thing. Just like we want to preach like Jesus and we want to heal like Jesus, we want identity like Jesus. We want our identity to be perfectly understood, that we understand who we are in relationship to Jesus, who we are in relationship to the Father, who we are and what we're supposed to be doing in our lives. So we've looked at three different things in knowing your identity. So it's understanding foundational self, getting value from your Creator, and living more like Jesus. Those are three things that we talked about today, and these themes will continue on and on as we look at each one of these things individually. But when you boil it all down, understanding your identity is about one word, and that's freedom. That John 8, 31 and 32 says this. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That knowing your identity sets you free. When you know the truth sets you free. That you can go through life believing lies about yourself, go through life on this hamster wheel of trying to figure out how everybody views you and perceives you so you can figure out your own value. Or you can stand on the truth and kind of get out of that. Stand on the rock of what Jesus did and the foundation there for us and our identity. You stand on top of that and you get out of that slave of being a slave to all those other things. Yet the truth sets you free. And that's the point of this whole sermon series. To set you free. To the lies you've been believing about yourself. To the things that maybe you misunderstood or didn't know about who you are, or what God did for you, or how much God loves you. That the truth will set you free. Please rise. I want to pray now that our hearts are open to that and that God will start revealing to us some of these lies and some of the ways that we were trying to find identity in the wrong way. So the idea will be that we kind of get rid of some of these bad things that are building our identity on the sand so that we're building our identity on the rock, and as we go through these next sermons and as we go through this topic, you start building that up on the rock. So Heavenly Father, I just pray for your Holy Spirit to be here. Holy Spirit, come. Let your kingdom come. Lord, I pray that you just reveal to us the lies that we're believing about ourselves, the things that are holding us back, the ways that we're not believing that we are who God says we are. Lord, would you reveal those to us? And Lord, would you take those away? Allow us to step into freedom, the freedom of understanding who you are and who we are in you. Lord, I ask that you just break down barriers and then the walls and the ceilings that are in the way of us doing that. Lord, would you take away the fear that we have of truly understanding who we are, the fear of looking inside of who we are and what we need to be doing. Take away that fear and allow us to step into your freedom. Allow us to understand that you love us so much, that you sacrifice for us because you love us, and that love will never end. Allow us to just soak in your love. Allow us to see more and more of that in our lives. Lord, would you open up our hearts as we step into this journey of understanding our identity? Would you allow us to be open to stepping in to start living life in the freedom of knowing your identity? Amen. Members of the ministry team can come forward.